Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, we often talk on this programme about how different industries and sectors are addressing their carbon footprint, but one you might not hear often about in this context is healthcare. Well, last year, the HSE launched their Climate Action Strategy. It outlined a plan to reduce their impact on the environment. They say they want to cut down on single-use plastics and disposable medical devices, but also address areas such as energy efficiency and water usage. Well, to tell us more about what's being done and why it's not just good for the environment, but also for budgets and spending, I'm joined now by Derek Cawley, who's a spinal surgeon, regular guest on our programme, but also a consultant who works with Irish Doctors for the Environment. Derek, you're very welcome.
Hi, Claire.
In a different capacity today,
sure,
to talk about this end of things. So it's not just about reducing our dependence on these disposable medical materials. And I think if you even think about it very quickly for a minute, if you think about a visit to a hospital or even to your GP clinic, we can see all of the disposable items that are used.
Sure.
But you're looking at the bigger picture here of medicine's carbon footprint.
Yeah, that's right. And about 70% of the entire carbon footprint is the goods and services that we buy in, largely single-use devices that are then dumped. And it is important to recognise that when we are buying those, the cost of disposal is not necessarily factored in. Even though in healthcare, a lot of disposal is clinical waste, which may sometimes be burned. Okay. So the cost of waste is also higher. But you are correct. Over the last 20 years since I qualified as a doctor, there's been a massive change in terms of how we use equipment and how it used to be largely reusable equipment. And now it's all single use devices. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those single use devices are shipped from 17,000 kilometres away. So there's a massive carbon footprint that we inherit from wherever we get them from.
So for 20 years ago, then what was happening? The equipment was being washed, was it?
So, for example, I, as a surgeon, work in a hospital, and hospitals take up a 2.5 times more energy than your regular commercial building. And within the hospital environment, theatres and ICU occupy a third of the entire energy usage or carbon footprint, shall we say, of the hospital. So within the health sphere, there's probably two big offenders. One in primary care is drugs. Okay, drugs is massive. And it's not what we do with them. It's the fact that we buy that carbon footprint from whoever makes them and then the disposal, etc. So all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the tertiary or secondary level healthcare like hospitals, it is, as you say, it is the single use devices that we see on a regular basis that we don't necessarily think about. So, for example, a relative of mine had a simple day case procedure done recently and was supplied not only with one disposable blood pressure cuff, but with two that were both thrown out at the end of the day. So you can see that the implications of these are massive across. And this is getting more and more prevalent, not less.
But first on your list was drugs. And I think people will be surprised to hear that. So explain, can you explain more about what's happening there?
So drugs are I suppose the answer is no, I can't. As a surgeon, I fortunately don't know much about it, except to say that we buy them from companies who make them, who in themselves inherit a carbon footprint from whoever supplies them. And we know that the ingredients come from one part of the world, the manufacturing is in another part of the world. You got labour issues there in terms of equity and rights. You got different processes across different continents.
So I just don't know how we address that though here. And I'm not you know washing our hands of this problem. But if you look at disposable medical devices, you can see clearly that there might be a path to be able to reduce that.
Right.
When it comes to drugs though, if we need them,
we've
got to have them.
Yep.
You can't refuse people access to them. So how do you fix that?
So the first obvious thing is a deep prescribing program whereby we look at regular prescriptions and ask the question, do we need that? Okay, so for example, a statin is a very effective drug for reducing cholesterol, but the number of people needed to treat to prevent one fatal heart attack is 80 people on statins to prevent one heart attack. And that's just one example. You could go through the whole list. So a de-prescribing program in somebody where it's not going to make a difference is key. There are alternatives to medication. The green and social prescribing is really taking on now. It's been used in New Zealand for over 20 years. You're seeing it in the UK in particular, but also in pockets of Ireland, whereby we recognise nature as a vital component of a person's health, and we prescribe that nature-based solution, be it engaging with communities in outdoor activities, swimming, hiking, gardening. These are really good, particularly for mental health, for physical health. So looking at alternatives to the regular medication list. And I see that no more so than in my own speciality of back pain, whereby people expect from me a medical solution. Yet they should take a greater role in their own healthcare and look at alternative solutions instead.
Okay. Now, let's get back to the medical devices, because yeah. I think a lot of people will be familiar with this, where they might need a crutch or two crutches or a walking frame, and you can't return them to the place that gave them to you. Mm. Well, you can, but they're just going to get rid of them, aren't they?
In Ireland, absolutely. Yeah, not in other places in the world, even though that aluminium could easily be recycled.
So just, can it not just be cleaned and given to somebody else?
Well, then you have potential... It's no longer new, and who's going to take responsibility if someone slips on the new crutch? And as we know, litigation in Ireland is higher than anywhere else on the planet when it comes to medical litigation. And I know that through the insurance of any consultant I know. But if you take, for example, in the hospital environment, the theatre wraps, the textiles around the equipment that's sterilised, and the drapes that are put on the patient for an operation, and the gowns that I wear or we wear, they used to be all reusable. They are now all single-use devices imported from 17,000 kilometres away, put into a yellow bag and burned at the end of the week or whatever. So that has a massive impact. And we used to use reusable devices. And there are still reusable laundry companies who will provide reusable textiles. And I wouldn't mind, but the science and technology in reusable textiles has improved massively over the last 20 years. So it all began with a weakness in our systems in terms of potential for infection. Yet the evidence is not there to show that single-use devices have a lower rate of infection.
Right, so we're not getting better outcomes.
No, we have perfectly good systems that are well entrenched and proper guidelines and policies for how to responsibly deliver sterility in this environment. They are already in place. Mm-hmm. And they are still used. It's just for the most part, they're not. Single uses are considered easy to open, easy to dump. And therefore, that's what the culture is in the healthcare sector.
So is the culture going to change in the HSE? Is that what this plan is about now?
Certainly, and I'm part of the HSE group. Certainly in my hospital, we have a sustainability task force. We did a carbon assessment of the hospital. We looked at areas that it can be improved in. So, for example, I'll give you a simple example. We have new fancy theatres with taps that have sensors on them. And those sensors are so good that if you walk past the tap turns on. OK, so we need to change that to allow less water wastage so that we don't have as much heated water going down the drain. Okay, mm-hmm. So we look at all of the different aspects, the energy of the building, solar panels, insulation, all the stuff that we're actually used to hearing. It's not that crazy science. It's actually very basic innovations that we can make on a hospital level as medical professionals, but also the individual. I said about the each person should take a greater role in their healthcare. There's more that individual can do with regard to their battle in this massive climate crisis that we're facing. So changing your pension to a green pension is definitely a short-term, quick-fix thing that someone can do. As a consumer, that person has choices as to where they buy their food from, where they buy all that plastic from, where they buy the Christmas stuff from, and how they vote. These are really important things. And fortunately, we have a democracy that will allow us to express that. So there are massive things we can do to change it.
So in terms of healthcare then, where in the world can we take example from? Who's doing it well?
Well, the first thing is that cost savings are a significant part of this. So the Americans recognised this years ago, that actually if you change it back to reusable ways, reusable equipment, for example, you save significant costs. That's been going on for years. The NHS are world leaders in terms of a broader perspective on how to change the entire footprint of healthcare. And the easiest thing that they did, recognising that energy is an important part, and if they change their energy mix to renewable sources of energy, that in itself brought down the healthcare footprint in the UK. And they've led the policy for the rest of us across the developed world on how we can do it. But we have to recognise that we have a lot of waste in our systems, it's basic intuition on how we can improve it. But you are correct. It is the culture within that organisation mm-hmm. that's key. There's the top-down effect in terms of engaging with the higher management, and there's the one-to-one stuff on the ground.
See, there's going to be a cost factor. You know, if you're going to change your energy source, you've got to invest to get there in the first place.
Right.
You're probably going to realise savings in time. time. But when you look at perhaps the reusable gowns, because I think that's a very tangible example, you're going to have to invest in a service or in staff to do that. Whereas the plastic ones, you rip them off, you put them in the bin, goodbye.
Yeah, yeah, goodbye. And that and that is true. And it goes up in smoke. And the first thing is that there are low-hanging fruits here, stuff that can be done now that will save money, that will then allow us to invest in the more the bigger projects, the more difficult things to get across the line. But there are significant savings in the waste. There's so much waste in the system that if we just make the system a bit more efficient. So for one example, the HSC decarbonisation group have looked at all of the estates across the HSC and have made massive changes across the country in how energy is used in hospitals, directly saving money at a short-term level. And then that's been reinvested.
Okay, and what do you think the HSC could be doing that they aren't doing? Is there other low-hanging fruit there that could be addressed now?
That is, yeah, there are. But I suppose it's nothing different to what I've said in terms of efficiencies. We've a great new system now for how we can bring data and virtual appointments into the realm so that we don't have people travelling long distances for appointments. You definitely have outreach programmes. We're bringing more of our health into community-based healthcare. These are all secondary benefits for climate carbon emissions. And it's efficiencies, absolutely. And there are wonderful people that I've met in my time doing this, both in my own hospital, but across the HSC task force, who are committed to making a difference here.
Do you see that there's a will there? I mean, primarily people who work in your business are there to improve the quality of people's lives, to save their lives in some cases. Does sustainability come into it or is it to the forefront?
So certainly the most recent survey and consultants showed that 84% are concerned and are willing to do something about it. But we have to extend that Hippocratic oath of first do no harm. We really need to extend that to do no harm to our planet. Because while we might make an intervention that's costly in terms of carbon emissions today to one individual, that has huge implications for the next generation of people that are coming along. So I see that for any parent, how it's going to affect their children. This is not a future problem. This is today's problem, but we can solve it.
Derek, thanks very much for coming in. Derek Cawley there with Irish Doctors for the Environment. And Derek, of course, regular listeners will know, is also a spinal surgeon. And I'm sure he'll be back with us at some point soon to talk about those issues too. Let's take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.